The Bible contains the story of God and his beloved people, his children. And within that great story are many more stories of men and women, ordinary men and women who experience, however, many extraordinary things, many extraordinary encounters with their Creator, their Heavenly Father, God. And in the New Testament, in the first few pages of Luke's Gospel, we read of a miraculous event, an incredible happening that caused quite a stir. You see, one cold night in the town of Bethlehem, in a manger, a baby was born. The prophecy of Micah, made hundreds of years earlier, came true that very night. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. And following what the angels had commanded him, Mary and Joseph named this baby boy Jesus. And what I'd like to share tonight are three stories, three encounters with Jesus from Luke's gospel. The angels and the shepherds, Simeon and Anna. Okay, so some of you are probably counting in your head and you've come to realization that that's four. And maybe your math is a little bit better than mine, but I was never that good in school at math. And but for the sake of tonight's story, and for the sake of my sermon title, we're going to lump two together, the angels and the shepherds. Because after all, that's what Luke did in his gospel account. Deal? Deal. The angels and the shepherds first meet Jesus. In this scene, we are first introduced to an angel who has come with news to proclaim to the shepherds. It's a twofold message. This angel has come with good news. But not only good news, but good news that will bring great joy to all people. This good news is what we as Christians call the gospel. And that's actually the true translation from the original language that the Bible was written in. This gospel, this message of hope that we have in Jesus is good news. It's the gospel. It's what will bring great joy to all people. And so now we turn our attention to the shepherds. Ordinary shepherds were the first to see Jesus. God didn't reserve the privilege of seeing the Son of God for the holiest of holy people, for the most righteous, for the have-it-all-together people. God chose ordinary shepherds, the obscure, the neglected, the misunderstood. Ordinary people, yet here they experience something truly extraordinary. When we look at the first ever encounter with Jesus and the shepherds, three things stood out as I read this passage. They were excited to hear the news of Jesus. Certainly, this wasn't what they were expecting that morning when they gathered around the breakfast table and chowed down on their bowl of Cheerios. But this message heralded by the angels trumped everything and anything that they had on their agenda, on their to-do list for that day. Second, they hurried to the village to find Jesus, we read in Luke 2:16. They knew in an instant that they needed to be with Jesus. They needed to be in his presence. And perhaps that's what brought you here this evening. You knew that on Christmas Eve, you needed to be here in church, in the presence of Jesus. The third thing is that they told everyone what had happened, we read in verse 17. The shepherd's encounter with Jesus was truly life-changing. We don't know the exact details of all that transpired that day, but we read in verse 18 this, that all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. The story of Jesus still, to this very day, has the power to leave us all astonished. And it still, to this day, has the power to transform lives. The Gospel of Luke teaches us that God can take obscure and poor people and use them to transform the world. The shepherds rushed to see the infant Christ and then made known what they had heard concerning the child. You could say the shepherds became the first New Testament evangelists. The author Tim Keller wrote, "As great as it is, God did not simply send us the Bible, a message through the communication medium of writing. If that was all he could do for us, salvation would ultimately be in our hands. It would have been up to us to follow his instructions. But instead, God also came himself in the flesh to be fully present to us in Jesus Christ. It is only through his being fully present with us that we could be saved by grace." The second encounter we read in Luke 2 is Simeon the prophet. Now, Simeon meets Jesus. Now, we don't know for certain how old Simeon was. Some scholars believe that he was an elderly gentleman, but this isn't known fully to us. What we do know in the story is that Simeon was eagerly waiting for the Messiah, and that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, we read in verse 25 and 26. Some of us are that way, aren't we? We are waiting to see Jesus, to experience him, for some sort of definitive proof of his existence. And so in verse 27, it says, "The Spirit led Simeon to the temple." Perhaps you've been led here this evening. However it is that you ended up here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you've made it. Simeon encounters Jesus in the temple courts as Mary and Joseph have brought him here. So Simeon encounters Jesus, and Luke 2:28 says he took the child in his arms and he praised God. He took the child in his arms and he praised God. Simeon declares, "I have seen your salvation. Jesus is a light to reveal God to the nations. Here is a man who now felt ready to die. He had not seen a miracle performed by Jesus, nor a word heard of his matchless teaching. There was nothing remarkable in either the parents or the child to mark Jesus out visibly. Yet Simeon felt ready to die, for he had seen the Messiah." For many of us here this evening, we have had many different encounters with Jesus. Some of you are like me, you didn't grow up in the church. And so your experience wasn't one of always hearing about Jesus at Christmas. Christmas to you, as it was to me, may have been very different. Some of you here tonight are still wrestling with your faith, still unsure. Like Simeon, you have eagerly waited for the Messiah. But for some reason, Jesus doesn't fit what you expected. That couldn't have been truer for so many in this Christmas story. Yet somehow many began to see the significance of this baby born in a manger. Our last encounter we read about in Luke 2 is of a woman named Anna. Anna was a prophet. She was about 84 years old, the Bible says, and spent most of her life alone. Her husband had died when they had been only married for 7 years. We read that Anna spent day and night worshiping God and fasting. She spent her life devoted to her religious practices. And Anna was at the temple that day as well as Simeon. And the Gospel of Luke records that she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. And what is recorded next is that Anna encounters Jesus and instantly begins praising God. She talked with everyone about Jesus, but her first encounter, her first experience ever seeing this child, this infant, this baby, is to praise God. There is something about this child, something that deep in Anna's spirit knew at first glance that this child was different. This child was significant. This child was worthy of her praise. And it's because this child was no ordinary child. This was God the Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:23 declares the words earlier prophesied by Isaiah, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. My friends, God is still with us. I recently finished reading a book called Gospel Wakefulness, and I want to end our time together this evening reading just a short excerpt from it. Only the vision of Jesus makes sense of a broken world. He gives meaning to and fulfills suffering. He is the answer to the instinctual cry for justice. He is the ultimate threat to evil. He is the ultimate hope for deliverance. He is the puzzle piece that fits the eternity-shaped hole in the heart of mankind. Jesus Christ was big enough to become a fertilized ovum, an infant child, a teenager, a woodworker, a rabbi, a sacrificial lamb. He is the true and better all of us. Jesus is big enough to fit into infinity. He is the true light of the world. He is the risen King, the exalted Lord. He is before all things, and in him all things come together. All things were made through him and for him, that he might be the preeminent of them and supreme over them. He is the radiance of God's glory. And one day we won't need the sun, because he will be the lamp of the new heavens and the new earth. Why in the world do we fix our eyes on anything but him? Tonight, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That which was ever so significant and powerful 2,000 years ago is still equally as significant and powerful tonight. The incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ is still a history-altering, life-transforming, and paradigm-shifting event. Luke 2:11 says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that unto us this day you are born, that you have come to dwell among us, and that 2,000 years ago, this life-altering, paradigm-shifting, world-changing event still rings true and still has power today. That Jesus, this is the greatest story ever told. Good news, great joy for those who hear and believe that you truly are the Son of God. And so, Jesus, we love you. We celebrate you and we worship you tonight. And we pray this in your name.